I'm Natalie Morales of 48 Hours. So much of our reporting focuses on the stories of victims who didn't survive. But what about those who lived to tell?
I survived a violent home invasion. There's no earthly reason why I'm alive.
From 48 Hours, this is It Could Have Been Me.
It makes you grateful for everything you have, you know.
You can follow and listen to It Could Have Been Me on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, 902, it is the Boomer and Geo program coming to you live from the Built Ford Tough Studio. Willie and Jerry in for another hour or so. Tomorrow will be an extended warm-up show as Al will do the show with me from 6 to 10. And then Willie will be back on Wednesday. So that's kind of a look at the week ahead. A lot of baseball this morning, as you can imagine, with the Mets and the Yankees. The Mets taking 2 out of 3 from New York. And, you know, we started early this morning, you know, kind of talking about the importance of this game. The Mets had obviously already won the series, so, you know, kind of, I don't like using the term playing with house money, but when you've won the series already and you've kind of did what you needed to do, they kind of were playing with house money. For the Yankees, it was anything but. The Yankees had lost 6 in a row going back to the series in Toronto, and even you, as you referenced them, as we, numerous times this morning.
That's just my heart. It's my pinstripe heart. I apologize.
It's a big game for them, and they made the big plays when it mattered to get a game that they absolutely had to have.
Well, I think to your point also, I think anytime you're kind of pounding the drum trying to find something and they were able to find splash plays from Cody Bellinger. We talk about the big play. We talk about Judge having a great day at the plate. We talk about so many of these guys we need to show up and get a gritty win and they was able to. I think that's also a testament to Boone too, right? We talked about him either being in or out in some people's eyes. Like if you're still playing gritty, when you think all things are behind you right now and guys are showing up for you and showing up on the field, it speaks volumes. So I'm just happy the Yankees were able to get this one. If they would have lost to the Mets,
be a different conversation this morning.
It would be doom. I mean, it was doom and gloom going into Sunday, but it would have been really ugly.
I also think in the fashion that they won matters, meaning it was a sloppy series, really on both sides, but the way they, you know, watching the SNY broadcast, Gary at one point going to break, and I think it was when they came back after Max Fried was done in the sixth inning, you know, it was, you know, the way to get to the Yankees is to get into their bullpen. And ironically enough, the Mets did just that. They're down 5-0, they got it to 5-4, and yet couldn't get to the bullpen. And yet when there were opportunities to put a couple of runs on the board, the Yankee defense came up, I mean, just huge.
It was huge. And also, you know, listen, you also got to credit Max Fried for at least gutting it out. I mean, it was tough. I think right now, him at least staying healthy going all the way up until All-Star break is going to be good. I think this team kind of having a woo-saw to kind of chill out, hopefully to make it through the Mariners and the Cup Series without any injuries or anything splashed. We talked about Schmidt going down with the Tommy John injury right now. My point is they don't need any hiccups like that right now, and hopefully they can prevent that. But once again, you know, listen, I think anytime you get a dub is a dub. They was able to get one and save face. Now they got to move along.
It is amazing. Like the baseball season's so long, but when you look at what this rotation was going to be and what it is now, and now that Clark Schmidt is out and it looks like likely for the next year or so.
I didn't know this was his second one. He suffered one early in his career. I think when he was at South Carolina. Yeah.
Well, tough. In a lot of cases, you come back stronger. We shall see. After a second one, I don't know. Jacob DeGrom is pitching fabulously in Texas this year. I believe Zach Wheeler, I'd have to double check that, but I think Zach Wheeler has had Tommy John surgery. He right now, you know, you can make the case. We were looking at those numbers after the Phillies win yesterday and what he did with the complete game. His numbers is last 6-7 games. You tell me who's been better in baseball. Nobody. I mean, he has been two runs allowed.
I mean, Fried is 11-2 after yesterday. I don't know.
Right, but if you just look at the last 6 games of what Zach Wheeler has put out there, it is nuts how good he's been. But you look at, you know, what the Yankee rotation, you know, Luis Gil, well, coming back at some point. Clark Schmidt now out. Garrett Cole out. You got Stroman back finally. It's a Fried Rodon type of rotation at this point, and then everybody else has to fall in line and just give decent starts, and then you hope Heel comes back and that they are, you know, one deeper for it. But it's been, you know, whether it's been the Mets with the starting pitching, the Yankees with the starting pitching, it has been a grind of a season for these two teams so far.
But isn't that the norm this time of year?
It seems like it. You know, when you look around the league, it does seem like it. You know, there's so many injuries day to day. That's the one thing, too. You know, we even mentioned this. And I know he's been hobbled. I get it. The Starling Marte at bat, though, did you see that in the ninth inning when he took the pitch? And I don't know if it's his weight shift, but he felt the knee. Like, on what?
He buckled, right? Is that the one he buckled?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's when he took the pitch, he felt it in his knee, and he kind of slumped over. Yeah. At first, he put his hand on the one thigh to where it looked like he hurt.
Well, he had to play in the outfield earlier. I think he was going
for
a ball.
So maybe that's what it's from.
Yeah, it was a play in the outfield. He kind of grabbed his knee, I think, when some type of routine play he was trying to make. But
maybe that's it. Like, I've seen guys feel hobbled after swinging and missing. I've never seen a guy, after taking a pitch, feel like he injured himself. That's a new one for me. So you had that too. But yeah, injuries are a big part of what this season is going to be and who gets healthy. And, you know, the Mets at least have Manaea coming back. It looks like Kodai Senga is going to pitch, I think, Friday. And Manaea might be Sunday. I might have that reversed. But it's one of those two things. But they're both in line to pitch over the weekend right before the All-Star break. Then they get a little bit of time off again.
And Diaz is in, just for clarification, right?
Edwin in the
Diaz.
All-Star game? Yeah,
he's in, right?
Yes,
yeah,
Edwin Diaz with Pete Alonso and Lindor.
I got you. Okay.
For the Mets. But so interesting weekend for sure. Always fun when these two teams play. You know, we always do buzz, no buzz. It's Mets-Yankees. It was fun. I was locked in. I did not. And I wasn't there. And a friend of mine I told you was there said the stadium was great. The atmosphere was awesome. I didn't feel it this year. I don't know why. The Soto stuff at
Yankee
Stadium,
I can't say you're wrong because I didn't feel it either. Like I was peeking at it at the house. First of all, 4th of July. It's 4th of July weekend. I mean, there's a lot going on. People are moving around.
Sure, maybe that's part of it.
But I do agree with you. I think there's – usually I get a couple of texts from Mets fans like, you know, want to put something in the game. Let's make it friendly, better, something. I got nothing. People were just like, eh.
Quiet.
It was quiet. So I agree with you. I think a lot of people are just kind of, it is what it is at this point. So
yeah. So important series, though. Mets take 2 out of 3. The other thing that we really haven't got to yet, and it's a good time now, is the just 5 minutes on the Knicks. Because you're smiling and smirking. Why?
Because the Knicks pissed me off. I'm still like, go. I don't want to, I'll let you set it up.
Well, my question to you is going to be, and then you can go off on that if you'd like. So Mike Brown's going to be the next head coach.
Correct.
Unless I missed it, I still haven't seen a press conference.
There hasn't been one.
I don't, and they
and
probably,
I don't know what the holdup is.
I don't.
They said as of Thursday, this thing was done.
4 years, $40 million. They even had numbers. Tibbs is still owed 3 years and $30 million.
So what? So for the
so, yeah, yes. I guess what I was going to ask you is, knowing Mike Brown's history and where he's been in Cleveland and in Sacramento as head coaches, like if you were a player in that locker room, what type of environment are you expecting when he now takes over? Because here's the thing that's interesting to me about Tibbs, and we close the book on him, obviously. But so the word on Tibbs was too tough on his players. Comes to the Knicks, he changes, lightens up the workouts and the practices, but he's going to play his guys.
Right.
Okay. So Mike Brown's going to come in, and the few things that I read last week were he's a no-nonsense coach, and he's going to practice you hard. So which is it then? Would you as a player rather a coach that's going to go lighter in practice but ask you for an extra 3 or 4 minutes in game time? Or would you rather bust your ass and practice more but you might play 3 or 4 minutes less in the game? Isn't it 6 of 1, 6 dozen of the other kind of?
I mean, I understand your point. For me, I always want to play. Like I'd rather be reserved at practice, but when the lights is on, I'm on, and I'm going to give you all I got. Just because I understand it comes down to wins and losses, right? If I got to be
always.
But I can't win a game at practice. So you try to run me into the ground or beat the hell out of me. I understand why it matters. I do believe in practicing hard. I believe in all that other stuff. But when the lights is on and it's time to go, I want to be able to go. And I don't want to injure myself in practice because I'm trying to prove to you that I'm worthy of being on the court. And then when I don't have no legs, like people forget, I think it was game one or two of the series against Indiana. Remember when OG went up for a layup and his legs just gave out?
Was that the one the ball went right through his hands? Game one, part of the collapse?
I don't know if it was game one, but there was a point when I think OG gets I think he's on a fast break by himself, and I think he wants to go up for a dunk, and you see his legs just give out, and he fumbles a layup, and it goes down the other way. And I just attested that to him just being run down to the ground. OG's one of our best defenders, and he didn't have legs for the fourth against a Pacers team who's known for the up and down, a fast pace. And I'm saying that's when I knew – outside of game one, us blowing game one, whatever. But I felt like that was a pivotal moment. It was kind of looking to the window of how these guys are beat up.
Okay, maybe. But can I
the
play
fatigue?
Can I play devil's advocate with you and say they were also the best conditioned team late in games in the Boston series, which is why they won that series and had enough to get back? I mean, you can play this game both ways. I mean, they were, and even in the Detroit series, they were the better conditioned team in the fourth quarter of those games.
Right, but I also think I felt like we were better than Detroit. I think we proved that.
Sure.
I do think the Boston series, I think we kind of wore them down as much as they would think they wore us down. But nevertheless, man, I don't know. I just feel like Tibbs, nothing got through to Tibbs, and something happened. I didn't like the firing. I would have kept him. But I think the overplay was killing these guys.
All right, so then back to the question. What type of environment, if you were a Nick, are you expecting when Mike Brown takes over? Is it light? Is it stressful? Because it's NBA finals or bust now. You made it to...
Well, he's known for being a guy holding guys accountable, but that's not the culture no more in New York. I think a lot of these guys bleed the orange and blue and have a clear understanding that the expectation right now from Mike Brown is to win because of the roster we have. Like a lot of our key pieces are still here.
Most of them are, sure.
Most of them. Yep. So my understanding is for him to come in and do the job. I've seen clips of him, especially when he was in Sacramento, get after guys in practice, dog cuss them, and really, you know, expect them to be professionals at the moment. But New York's it's a different dog, man. You know what I mean? I think the expectation right now is for him to win, especially because a lot of New York fans feel like, all right, division, Eastern Conference, next year, championship.
Yeah. So right. If they end up next year, especially when you look at what happened with Indiana and their team, I don't want to say being dismantled. That's a bit of a stretch. But with the Halliburton injury, Miles Turner going to Milwaukee now. All right, you kind of put Indiana over here. You've got Cleveland, right, who won the 60-plus games but also dropped dead in the postseason. They were injured and banged up, so maybe give them a little bit of a pass, but they'll be back. All right, so we've got Cleveland. After that, Boston, you don't have Kristaps Porzingis. Tatum's out for the year.
Halliburton's done.
Right. So Boston, we put over here.
Waved.
You're really looking at, I would think, you're looking at Detroit. You're looking at Orlando, people seem to forget about.
Well, the three teams in the weeds is Orlando, Atlanta, and Detroit, as you mentioned.
Yes.
Yes.
It's NBA finals are big. You can't go lose in the first. Milwaukee, too, perhaps, if Giannis is motivated.
I think for Knicks fans, if you make the playoffs 3 out of the 5 years, they don't want to see us go back. And they don't want to see anything about a toxic locker room. They don't want to hear anything other than, we're going to the NBA Finals with the team we have right now, led by Mike Brown. That's all they want to hear. They don't want to hear a regression, because then it all goes back to, well, why did we get rid of Tibbs?
Oh, I agree with that.
It's just an onslaught of, well, why did we make the move if we knew this was going to be the Band-Aid that kind of let the uglies out?
Right. It's kind of like you knew what you had. Now you're going to figure out what you have.
Yeah.
There's no question about it. All right. A couple of quick calls here before the break. Artie in Brooklyn. What's up, Artie?
Hey, guys. Happy Fourth.
You too, man.
Thanks for taking the call. Listen, if you put Rose in a room and said, listen, you're firing Tibbs and you knew you were going to get Mike Brown, are you still making that firing? Bobby said, no way. I think he went to Brown. He wanted Kidd, couldn't get Kidd. Went to Brown and said, I think we could get LeBron here. Maybe LeBron could teach Robinson how to shoot a freaking free throw.
Wow.
I mean, like...
You know, it's funny Artie. LeBron's not been the best free throw shooter in his career either. Oh, by the way.
Yeah, but I just, what I'm thinking is that this team is a now-ready team. And I don't know if Tibbs not being able to get Brunson and Towns playing, who could come in here and get this team to a championship level? And I guess he's looking at the coaches because there were so many rumors, different guys. Brown came out of nowhere.
Well,
Artie,
I don't know that Brown came out of nowhere. If you go back to when Tibbs was first let go, and I appreciate the call as always, hope all is well. You know, that was one of the first names we actually did hear.
Mike Brown
and Taylor Jenkins and Mike Malone. Those were the first three names
we heard.
Johnny
Bryant and all those guys, right.
And then it was, we're going to try this team and that guy. And can we talk to this person? The whole thing was kind of disjointed. That having been said, I would love to know if we went back there and pulled Nick fans. We got rid of Tibbs. Mike Brown's coming in. I would love to know what they would have thought then as opposed to now. Because now, He's fine. I mean, he's a good coach. There's no question about it.
Yeah, I think for the respectable guys that were available, it seems like this is probably the most respected one.
For sure. I would agree with that.
Yeah, so I think Knicks fans are saying, okay, we don't hate him.
No.
But we're not in love with him.
You know what I mean? Very good coach.
But I think, to your point, the way, as Artie was saying, the trajectory is up now. That thing can't go left
and right. There's only one way.
There's only one way.
That's it.
And that's a lot for a coach who hasn't really done a lot since his time in Cleveland. Right, he had to run with, you know, he was able to take this the Kings to a playoffs.
Yes, coach of the year, yes. You know, but they got fired 30 games into a season.
Correct. So now they're saying, like, all right, you got us a guy who, yeah, his resume looks attractive for the most part, but he can't blow this up. Like, we can't have any discourse along the way.
And by the way, just before we take this next call, just think of this. I always think of these two things. If the bench was good enough, why was it just revamped? Just saying. That seems like a personnel thing to me.
Yeah. I understand your point.
Just putting that out there. And my mind is mush and I forgot my second point. So with that, we will go to Chris in Brooklyn. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Willie and Jerry. Good morning, fellas.
What's up,
how
man?
You doing?
Good. How are you?
Hey, so totally off topic here. Nothing to do with the Knicks. Actually has to do with the podcast. So Willie, you may not be fully familiar with this, but Jerry, you will. So this weekend, I'm at a hotel on the beach, you know, women there, beautiful women, and I told Al, as they're taking off their shorts to show bathing suit, I couldn't even enjoy it. I'm a married man, guys, but, you know, the eyes are there, but I couldn't even enjoy it.
The eyes are there.
Because all I thought about was Al and Al's face and Al talking about how he gets uncomfortable in that moment. So I feel like Al may have permanently scarred me here for the rest of the time. So I do have a little bit of a bone to pick with Al on that, but I couldn't get it out of my mind.
What did Al do?
Well,
I'm just saying that when you go to the beach, like, women have no problem. They'll, like, wear a pair of shorts over there and a shirt and then their bathing suit underneath. And then they do, like, a strip act right on the, with not a care in the world, but they would never do that in public. They would never pull their pants down to show you.
And show you the panties and the bra.
Yeah. But like at the beach, they're like, let me pull my jean shorts down and here's my.
Well, how do they get
my thong bikini.
How do they get it off, Al?
No, I don't think that's his point. I think what he's saying is it's so accepted at the beach that they go into the striptease act.
Yeah.
But yet you wouldn't see them at Target trying on. They got to go into the, you know, the dressing room.
Correct. Because is there an ocean in Target?
No, but is that all the difference?
They're dressed for the beach. They're tired.
But I know what you're saying. Time and place. At the same time, we just look the other way when a girl strips down into a thong bikini and a tiny, teeny little bikini top. But if someone did it at Target, they'd have her arrested.
Yeah, I think because there's two different intentions, you know? I'm looking at it from... Yeah,
but why is one accepted and one's not?
And a lot of times there's more material involved with the bra and panties than the bathing suit.
But you see, did you see Sofia Vergara?
Uh-uh.
Google that.
On it.
She What'd posted she on Instagram for National Bikini Day. What did she do? She's got a piece of thread hanging up her ass. That's what she did. And that's acceptable because she's by the water. But if she walked into Target that way, they'd call the cops on her. His point is, why is one so acceptable and one's not? That's all. I think it's a good question.
Thank you, Jerry, for backing me up.
I think it's a no-brainer. Like I think you shouldn't get knocked for either.
Well, you're going to get knocked for doing it in the store.
Yeah, like if she went.
Yeah,
to Target.
You shouldn't be like in. You shouldn't be in the home appliance area dropping your pants.
But what if you were in the women's clothing section? You're wearing jean shorts and you see a nice pair of sweatpants. You go, let me see if those fit. You drop your jean shorts to reveal your thong. And then you put on these sweatpants to check them out. People would think that was crazy. Yeah,
absolutely, there's no question about it.
I get it. I don't know. I'm just not.
I know you don't know. That's exactly the point. Exactly the point.
I just hate that Al came up with this.
I do like that our caller is thinking about Al when he sees a girl stripping down naked. Or not naked, I'm sorry, down to her bikini bottoms.
Yes, getting ready for the beach.
So that's kind of weird too.
Now you're gonna have me looking at people in Target funny. Like,
why? They expecting them to start taking their clothes off?
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
We should tell that to the people who work at Target when they go, where's the dressing room? Right here. Just take your pants off.
Do what you got to do.
Feel free.
As long as you got underwear on, we're good to go. So, there you go.
And in Asbury Park, there's lots of men in...
Speedos?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's big a big thing.
Are you against
You know
Speedos?
Where that's a huge thing, too? The cruise ships.
Cruise ships love... Well, that's like Euros love a good Speedo. I'm not against them. I couldn't pull one off. I'm just saying.
That was my first pair of swim trunks.
Speedos.
Yeah.
As an adult or when you were?
No, as a kid. My dad wore a Speedo, so he decided to put his boys in Speedos. And maybe it was an 80s thing.
So that's all you knew?
I didn't. I wore my first Speedo to a public pool with my friends.
Oh, God.
And they was like, dude, what are you doing? I was like, what's the problem here?
You and all your stuff.
And I was like, and my dad was like, yeah, I should have brought you some trunks. I was at Mulally's in the Bronx. There's a public pool. Yeah. And I showed up in me and my brother, red Speedos, just happy as two chipmunks.
How old were you?
Like 7 or 8.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
And then I looked around the pool. I was like, we look different. There's something here I can't really put my finger on. And I was like, Dad, are these not the norm? And he was just like, maybe not kids your age.
But, my bad.
Yeah. And so we.
Why are all of those kids in shorts?
Right. And Dad being from Puerto Rico, he's an island man.
Wow.
So that's what it was.
And there you go. Makes sense.
He had a mochismo.
When we come back, CeeLo one more time. Plus, we'll have time for your calls at 888-808-1019. Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
I'm Natalie Morales of 48 Hours. So much of our reporting focuses on the stories of victims who didn't survive. But what about those who lived to tell?
I survived a violent home invasion. There's no earthly reason why I'm alive.
From 48 Hours, this is It Could Have Been Me.
It makes you grateful for everything you have, you know?
You can follow and listen to It Could Have Been Me on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Geo.
All right, coming up on 9:30. It is a Monday. Live from the Built Ford Tough Studio, Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo as they take the week off. They will be back next Monday. And then actually, they're going to be here for much of the summer, much of the rest of the summer.
Well, they're locked in.
Yeah, you know what? I think they've had so many sporadic days off. This is not going to be a normal summer where they're off like every other week or anything like that.
That's unfortunate for me.
I understand. The one who's off a lot is Al starting next week. He gets like every other week off. Yeah. No, I get that. I understand.
Oh, that's when Al takes off to Montana next week.
Next week.
A lot of golf dates for the fellas.
Al, bring me back a shirt.
A Montana shirt?
Or a keychain.
You a large?
Husky.
Might want to put an extra two on that. You were large. Anyway, how are you doing there, Chris?
Doing great, yeah. You want me to take it away here? We're good to go?
If you're ready to rock,
all right,
we're ready.
Awesome. Well, the Mets did beat the Yankees, or I should say they were trying to beat the Yankees 3 in a row, almost did, to take the season Subway Series, but Cody Bellinger played a big part in that not happening yesterday.
And the pitch. Swing on, hit the left field. Bellinger coming on! He made the catch. Tried to double up the runner at first. Throw back. He got him. Cody Bellinger with a wonderful play.
Mark Leiter clapping his glove. That was an extraordinary play. And just remember, that's Cody Bellinger in left field.
Yes, thank you, Susan. And Dave Sims here on the Fan. Dave's voice went very high there. It was interesting.
Ooh.
I listened to the Met radio call. And Keith Ratt, I kind of had a similar voice pop there a little bit. I don't know if you have any interest in taking a listen to that.
Lindor off first. 2-1. Line the other way toward left. Bellinger in. Reaches down. Makes a shoestring catch. Fires to first. And doubles up Lindor. Oh, goodness. Cody Bellinger with the play of the game so far for the Yankees.
It certainly was.
That's a good call. Very
good
call.
Yes, it was. Absolutely. Both were. You know, both, I think, captured the moment, the essence there. One of three double plays the Yankees turned in the later innings to preserve their lead. They end up salvaging the finale 6-4 in a game where the Mets threw some no-name pitchers for the first six innings. But in the immediate aftermath, a lot of focus on that Bellinger play, doubling off Lindor with the throw to Paul Goldschmidt at first base.
To finish it off with that throw, I'd like to know what the velo was on that throw, and he basically hit me in the chest going around Lindor, so that was incredible.
Yeah.
Game-changing play right there.
I can't get over
the first base. He's just doing nothing.
He's just pointing at the bag, not even like with like waving his arms or anything. Say, hey, let's get back to first here.
Yeah.
And Lindor almost collides with Soto, who was running to first out of the box. It's just bizarre. Wild play.
Mm.
Goldschmidt, I guess, with Susan here on the Fan. Aaron Boone went a little bit further in his praise of the play.
Considering the context of, you know, this week and everything, you know, that's probably our play of the year so far.
I would agree.
Yeah.
I think so. Aaron Judge, homer to get in this one, 2-run shot in the 5th. fifth with first base open as they opted to pitch to him there. That made it 5-0 Yanks. He later tacked on a sac fly and capped the scoring. Real quick on Jazz Chisholm, who was out of the lineup yesterday. He's dealing with a sore throwing shoulder amidst some of the defensive struggles at third base, but nah, not necessarily going to use that as any reason to think there's something going on there.
I've been going through it for about 3 weeks now, so it's nothing too crazy. I've been playing with it. No worries, no complaints. So I won't complain now.
I don't think that was like the only reason he was out yesterday, because the bulk guy for the Mets, I think, was lefty. So, you know, Dominguez was out as well because he doesn't hit great from the right side. But you've got him playing out of position. Now all of a sudden his shoulder's bothering him. He gets selected to the All-Star game, and they list him as a second baseman. You got all the Yankee fans that are up in arms about him playing at third instead of second. So something to keep an eye on. From the Mets standpoint, any ninth inning comeback sabotaged a bit by the home plate umpire in the top or bottom half of the ninth, I should say. Luis Torrens leading off a couple of calls that went against him. He ends up getting punched out on strikes. Led to the ejection of Carlos Mendoza, who came out and got his money's worth.
You want to get guys on base and kind of keep the line moving. So, you know, hopefully Soto and P gets a chance here. And then you get two calls like that. They don't go your way. Just pretty frustrating.
And, you know, he barked a little after the first one. And it almost seemed like maybe it ticked the umpire off, where the second one was like, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and ring you up again.
He's right, though.
Oh, I
said to Willie.
Defending
after,
them, yeah.
After he said his piece and started walking back to the dugout, I'm like, go back. More.
A little bit more.
Yes. Yeah.
Pull the plate.
Sure. I mean, just everything you got.
Have your savages in the box moment.
Sure. Or the Terry Collins one.
Oh, well, that was...
You got to give us a shot, remember?
I mean, yeah. That was, yes. That
the
was a
jackpot.
Little different, but yes, 100%. Asses in the jackpot.
That's it.
Yes.
That's right.
With Tom Hellion.
Yes.
That was one of the great mics.
Who I believe Terry Collins says he's still, like, embarrassed by that.
Oh, yeah, he hates it.
Oh, man, yeah. You got to love that moment.
No. He's
defending,
I mean,
his players. That was good.
Well, I don't think he... I think he's embarrassed by the fact that the full audio came out and some of the language that he used.
These
which,
things happen.
Again, is not uncommon on the baseball
not
field.
At all.
We're just usually not hearing it crystal clear like that.
And that was pretty clear.
John Boy reading lips is one thing. You know, it actually being part of a microphone that was, I guess, on the umpire was pretty funny. Lindor knocked in a pair in this game. He had a two-hit game and an RBI in Saturday's win, but after the finale, he was focused on that Bellinger play and his part on the base pass.
It was a good game. A couple of mistakes that... led to losing, and mine in the base path, that one definitely hurt us.
So the Yanks get a win, but the Mets take 2 out of 3. The teams split the 6 games this season, 3-3. Both are off tonight. Mets will be in Baltimore to play the Orioles tomorrow. The Yankees host the Mariners. You guys touched on Clark Schmidt, likely headed for Tommy John surgery after coming out early with forearm tightness last week. As far as the Mets are concerned, you've got the returns of Kodai Senga and Sean Manaea on the horizon. Jesse Winker as well. Though it looks like Starling Marte perhaps could land himself on the IL.
Starting to get healthy, and then still guys going in and out of the
lineup. Yeah, that's kind of the way it goes, right? All-Star game-wise, Alonzo, Lindor, and Diaz for the Mets. Judge, Jazz Chisholm, and Max Fried for the Yankees. No Juan Soto. We mentioned that Alonzo will skip this year's home run derby. There's no Judge, no Otani, no Kyle Schwarber, so they need some guys. ESPN's Sunday Night Crew looking for candidates during Cubs-Cardinals. David Cohn nominated Seiya Suzuki, and that turned out to be very timely.
How about a late entry into the home run contest, too?
Okay.
He gets named.
Yep.
And we'll participate. I'm down.
I'm down.
Here we go.
Oh, come on. Really?
And it is
good. Yeah, that's kind of cool.
We are down. Seiya Suzuki. Another homer, another RBI, and another reason to get him in the home run derby.
My work here is done.
Pretty good for Coney.
That is very
there.
Good timing.
Better than the game was. 11-0 Cubs as they had a laugher there at Wrigley Field. Meantime, another gem from the SNY booth. This was from last Thursday, after, you know, night game after y'all were gone for the weekend. So series finale, Mets Brewers, and they tossed to Steve Gelbs for a quick little feature on bench coach John Gibbons. Now he uses some sort of creation with a suction cup to pick up baseballs. I guess they're in batting practice or infield practice or whatever, rather than bending over and picking them
up.
He's 63. He's, you know, not the slimmest man out there. So Gelbs tosses it back to the booth with Gary, Keith, and Ron.
Whoever thought your toilet plunger would work in baseball?
I actually had to use my plunger a couple days ago.
We really don't want to hear about that, Keith. It was very effective. You ever heard the expression TMI?
No, I don't think he has. Keith will tell you what he thinks and what he feels.
Wow.
So. Al and I had an extended conversation about plungers and toilet bowls and bidets this morning.
That sounds very warm-up show-like.
I'm dying to buy a bidet. I want to
get the tushy.
The what?
The tushy. Yeah. It attaches to your toilet bowl.
Itself. Oh, this is a product?
Yeah.
Oh.
Al says called it, the tushy. He says tushy, it's the best thing that of all the features in your home, right?
Yeah,
said it's
of all the things
one.
I've purchased, this is and, the biggest game.
And what does it? I mean,
it
does everything.
It washes your butt, so then you don't have a tough cleanup.
And he said you can. He installed it himself. Very easy. He said.
Yeah, and can't do anything.
Well, I know that part.
He's very concerned. He can't. You know, he won't have one in Montana. He's gonna.
You, do you have one in every room of your home?
No, I only have one. Well, I really only have two rooms, but. I only have it in the one bathroom.
Okay.
That's my pooping bathroom.
Wow.
Oh, separated.
So you don't have one downstairs for your guests? Well,
I don't have guests, so that's my pooping bathroom.
I don't have guests.
I don't generally have people over.
So nobody can just pull up on Al Dukes and be like, hey, I was in.
No.
How'd the 4th of July barbecue go?
Well, that went pretty good, Jerry. You know I serve boar's head.
Did you
you had a barbecue?
You had a barbecue, Al.
Oh, yeah.
And nobody was invited?
Correct.
So it was just a barbecue for yourself?
Yeah, I had just made some sandwiches.
Hold on, Al. For yourself?
He's a character,
look
man.
At Eddie's face. He's like,
he's a character.
You threw up a video of people on the beach this weekend. Was that shot from your condo?
Well, I was on the boardwalk. I don't actually live physically on the beach.
Well, I was curious.
But he's right across the street.
That's why I was close.
It was something that people are doing at the beaches now is they're going to the beach early, setting up doing this big setup, and then leaving for hours, and then coming back so they're sure they have a spot.
It's like at the resorts where they mark the
chairs. Yeah, I don't like that.
Why don't you like that?
That's just that if you're the...
First of all, why is it...
it's not your beach. What if I want to be in that spot all these hours?
Well, you get there early. You plant your flag.
Yeah. Right.
People are getting up and making an effort.
I mean, if I were muscular and could fight and knew jiu-jitsu, I would have just put my stuff right down in the middle of their stuff and laid there. But I can't do that.
It's not the art of war. We're just asking you to get we're just asking you to land, get there early. Reserve your spot. It's a big beach.
Which means you don't need to get there early and spread out all your stuff. It's not right.
I just hate that you're blaming people for being an inconvenience to you who's going to be late.
No, I'm not even going to go on the beach.
Yeah. He just wants to be bothered by that it's happening.
Correct.
He's not actually looking to go.
Yeah. When I see people behaving in ways that are not courteous to others, I need to point out.
Al likes rules followers.
Yeah. Yes.
Right.
Well, I understand that point, but it just seems like you're knocking somebody because they want to be tardy.
All kidding aside, you're going to be in Montana. I'm sure your hotel will have a pool. If you see people go down and put towels down and then leave, I'm sure there are signs that say you do not reserve chairs. Will you pick up their towels and put them in the bin? And
depends. I'll have to see how large they were.
Who?
And if I could beat
large?
Them up.
The people?
Yeah. Like if someone confronts me, I'm not going to do it to somebody who could beat me up. I would do it more like an old person.
So it'll be a short list of people he'd actually confront. Them.
So you're only supporting the smalls. Anybody else?
If you could beat me up, I'm not going to move your towel.
Oh, Al, you're a funny guy. All right, before we get to the moment of the day, I keep talking about this Joe B audio. Let me get to that. So we got a bit of a trend developing here with Joe in the new Saturday morning setup. So he's been bumped up to the 5 a.m. start rather than whatever he was doing, 8, 9, whatever he was previously doing. So this was actually...
He was doing 10 to 1.
10. Oh, okay, yeah. 10. So there you go, 5-hour difference. So this was a week ago this past Saturday, right out of the gate of his show.
All right, 5:01. Beningo on an absurdly, ridiculously early Saturday morning.
All right, and then just...
Joe, you signed up for it,
just
though.
A few minutes later, in the midst of his opening monologue on the Mets, in the midst of their rough weekend in Pittsburgh.
And that was basically the game as far as any, any kind of rallies the Mets were going to make last night, as I have my coffee here. Quit to the last drop. Anyway.
Wow. All right. So that was last weekend. How about this weekend? Holiday weekend, Subway Series. How did that go?
888-808-1019. I'll tell you what, we'll break here. We'll come back with more of your calls. But Ingo, on a ridiculously stupid early Saturday, the day after the 4th of July, we're back after this.
All right, so again, he's highlighting how early it is. And anyone who's up knows what time it is, obviously. So he comes back from the break and he tacks on with a little anecdote here.
You know, before we get to the calls, one of the benefits, if you will, I don't know if you want to call it a benefit, whatever, for doing the show from home as I sit here in my recliner, is one of my cats is up on my, sitting on me right now. My lovely cat, Dante, has decided that he will now, which he does a lot, but generally not when I'm doing the show, has now come up and is now sitting on my lap. So Dante doing the show with me, we'd have him say hello, but I doubt he's going to do that.
Cats don't talk.
Wow. I'm picturing him in the recliner there.
And you know he's not wearing any pants.
No shot.
No shot in his pants on
5 a.m.
Yeah. No. He's in his underwear, two gold chains, not shaving.
The high white socks.
He's got the cans on his head. He's just letting it go.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All right.
It's the dream.
Well, and he's working those hours so he can go play golf at 11 a.m.
There you go. Absolutely.
Man.
So we go from Joe to Moment of the Day and his former partner, Evan Roberts, on vacation in Europe with his family, specifically Paris, to begin the trip. We heard a lot of that audio today. Evan not able to unplug. He's scoring Met games in the airport. He's posting reaction videos and a full Rico Bronya podcast at 3:30 a.m. Paris time. Little different vibe than what our guy Al Dukes has in store for him coming up when he heads to Montana next week.
Will you go on any tours, like with a group?
I'm not sure. I don't have any booked. I don't have any.
I was shocked. I said to him, he has nothing planned.
You have
right
no
now.
Idea what you're doing when you get there as of now?
Yeah, why are you going to Montana?
Seems like a great place to go. Seems like there'd be less
humans.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think it's going to be crowded there. I think, you know, I kind of found out after the fact that this is a busy time of year. I thought I'd just go and just be like cowboys walking around.
In college, we played the University of Montana, and the only thing I can say is the sky is big. There's this
yeah,
big sky.
That's what I hear.
Is that the conference they're in, by the
it
way?
It is the big sky. Yeah, but we stepped off the plane like we were aliens. Like we were a bunch of New Yorkers. We were just staring at the sky.
Wait till they get a load of ammo.
I mean, is there anything going on, like a festival? Are they known for anything in particular? Like
I hope there's not a festival. No, I think it's just known for not being like New York. That's all I'm going for. I want something not like here. I want to be something in the United States that's not like here.
Tell you what, this trip better be good or else he'll never use Grok again. Because this was the big Grok suggestion.
I think he's going to have a good time, actually.
Well, the best call we had was the gentleman that called in to kind of promote Montana. And he goes, listen, if you want to go to Montana, you got to visit South Dakota.
I didn't hear that. I apologize. Yeah.
And North Dakota.
And North Dakota, yes. Correct.
No joke. He called up because, not we weren't bashing Montana at all, but he's like, it's a great trip. When you get there, you got to go to South Dakota.
First thing you do, cross the state border.
Right.
Like even Willie said when he got to Montana to play football there, the sky was big. The sky's big everywhere, isn't it?
No, but it's different. It looks like it's grand.
Is that because there's not many tall buildings?
There's no surroundings, so right?
Nothing. I can't explain it. I just remember it just being really massive and grand. Like, we stared at the sky like we had just landed on another planet. Mallet, we had been in Hempstead, Long Island. You know, so
That's the key. Very dense on Long Island, not so much in Montana.
Yeah, I just remember the sky. I don't remember anything else. The sky and drinking moose drool before the game.
Mm.
And did you win the game, by the way?
No, we lost, but I tell you what. So when this is a quick story. We got time?
You got a minute.
Okay, I'll give you a quick minute. So when Mighty Hofstra's walking down the tunnel, right? And they had a mascot called Monty the Bear, right? And so we're coming down this thing. I'm leading the team, and this mascot's coming down on this Harley. Had the American flag wrapped around this mascot head, big old bear head, right? And so we're MFing the bear, getting all this nonsense. We're, you know, being rowdy kids. And the bear's just like, vroom, 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 vroom. Then they bring the bear out. The place erupts, right? I look up, and when we're running onto the sideline, the bear's like right at the end of the sideline. And I say one, two, three more cuss words. That dude flicked me off. The bear punched the middle finger at me. And they caught him on the Jumbotron. It went crazy. We lost that game, by the way. Monty the Bear won.
And I imagine in Montana, there's not a lot to do. That place is packed.
to the brim.
Yes.
And I think they were the first schools to have like the HDMI Jumbotron. Mm. It was clear.
So they saw that middle finger nice and clear.
They went crazy. Yeah.
And they loved it. And then you guys got the middle finger by losing.
Yeah, we went home. The great sky, though. It was
big sky.
Big sky.
All right, Chris, we'll see you tomorrow. Yeah. Good job.
I'm Natalie Morales of 48 Hours. So much of our reporting focuses on the stories of victims who didn't survive. But what about those who lived to tell?
I survived a violent home invasion. There's no earthly reason why I'm alive.
From 48 Hours, this is It Could Have Been Me.
It makes you grateful for everything you have, you know.
You can follow and listen to It Could Have Been Me on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Geo.
All right, 9:51. It is Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo. The guys will be back next Monday, week off. I have a question for you. You tell me. I'm going to give you a scenario. You're going to tell me if I got... Oh, I didn't. If I was being fleeced.
Fleeced.
Fleeced. So I'm not going to give you particulars. Like, I'm not going to give you the app or the service. I don't want to badmouth anybody, but there is an app out there, and there's many of them, but there's one specific app. Need a little bit of work done in the house. And so the way that this presents itself is there are certain people, for depending upon the job you want to do, that offer their services for a hourly rate. So you hire them, you converse about what has to be done, and they decide if they want to take the job or not, and you know what you're paying.
Like a Roto-Rooter? Like kind of like...
As I said, I'm not going to say the company.
Okay, sorry.
Yes. But it's not them.
Okay.
So I'm going to give this a try. What the hell? I knew the work we needed to be done. Nothing crazy. In my mind, I'm thinking this is an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours tops. No problem. So I look at the reviews. The reviews are a big thing. If anybody doesn't have a perfect review, it's going to be hard to hire them. And so the first one I click on, they say they charge $75 an hour. I'm like, fair enough. I'm like, if you're telling me that he's going to come here, $150, and even if it's 3 hours, which to me seemed absurd, but all right, let's say he's slow and it takes 3 hours, it's going to be $225, job is done, I'm good and clear, I'm fine with that.
Okay.
So I go to click to hire him. We have a nice text exchange. Everything is going great. Address is done. Everything. Last thing he sends me. After we went through all the details, one last text. I'm a certified blimp, 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 blimp. I don't charge by the hour. It's $450.
Flat fee.
Like, what? Time out. That's not how you were advertised.
Right. You wouldn't have clicked them if you would have thought it was... Right.
Correct. So I just wrote back, interesting. That's not how you advertise this. I'll pass. Am I wrong or was I being fleeced?
I don't know. I felt like you were being fleeced.
I think so, too. But that's like that's a bait and switch to me.
Yeah, I felt like there's something you say off the
right rip. From the beginning. Don't say you charge $75 an hour.
Yeah, because you could be on a budget. It could be whatever the project is. It could be you may have a number in your head like this. I know I'm not going past this number.
Right. And like I said, even if it was 3 hours, so what?
Yeah.
It wasn't even a matter of, it was just the fact that it was supposed to be an hourly rate and then he gave me a lump sum number. That makes no sense.
I think you hit it right on the head. It was the bait and switch.
But I did the right thing.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Can you do things yourself or do you have to hire people?
No, Nothing. I am not good at... I'm not a handyman.
Not a handyman. Can he do the tushy? That sounds strange, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, he can install a tushy for
he
sure.
He could, right?
Al, so you sure you did this by yourself?
I did, yeah.
Okay.
Just turn off the water by your
toilet?
I
do things. I was never taught. My dad, I remember when he discovered the staple gun. He staple gunned every damn thing around the house. I mean, it was insane. So, like, I don't have that type of... I don't have that in my...
But do you have the want to, like, to try?
I do when you realize, to your point, what the bill is.
Yeah.
But well, then my wife is always like, you know, it's going to cost us more when you mess it up and we got to fix it.
I know, but there's the...
But you still need the education to know and how that's to do things.
And so that's where YouTube has become invaluable. I mean,
I have buddies who are YouTube guys.
I don't blame them. Yeah. We're always amazed if you want to replace a headlight on a 2004 Volkswagen Beetle.
Mm-hmm.
There's a video for that. And you do educate yourself on it. It's just like I want to learn how to do things and I do want to do them and I have the interest and the energy to do it. It's just so deflating when you actually try and do something and you're following along on the video, But the way the guy's doing on the video ain't coming out the way you're doing it.
I have a light socket right now that keeps popping out in my man cave that's been, and all I did was slap some tape on it to keep it up. That's as far as I've
gone.
Does
it work, though?
Yeah.
What do you mean it's hanging down?
It's like the thing inside, it keeps dropping.
Like a drop ceiling.
Yeah, it keeps dropping, like the little light thing. I'll have to take a picture and send it to you. But what's wild, like my son, anytime he wants to fix anything or put something together, he runs right to me. And we follow instructions and we get it done. So he thinks I'm handy. But my wife is probably more handy than I am.
So it's not that you're not handy. You're very good at following the instructions.
Yeah.
See, so that's where I would sit there and tell you that you probably could do it if you watched along with the YouTube video.
I would love to have that. Like, I just, like, I had to call somebody recently for my AC. Two buddies, my buddy owns an HVAC company. He came over to check it out. And I just watched him, and he was like, doot, 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 doot. And I'm sitting here like.
Well, it's like anything. The more you know about something, the easier it is.
Yeah.
All right, here's your question. Let's go plumbing, electrician, mason.
Ooh.
Or let's go landscape. But I don't mean just like a guy that cuts grass. I mean a landscaper that can like design.
Yeah. Trim the trees.
Of those four, I'm sure. Am I missing a different type of service, Al, would you say? Anything else? Of those trades, what would you most want to do?
Oh, probably plumber.
Plumber?
Yeah.
Because, why? You think that's fun?
No, I've seen plumbers. It's a disgusting job.
So why would you want that then? Do you mean to make money?
I think those are... I don't think I would...
See, I mean for as a homeowner, of those four, what would you want to be best at?
Oh, probably landscaping.
Landscaping. See, yeah. I'd like to be the electrician.
Yeah, I see the guys, like, I'm always down, I venture down south, and when I see people in a big John Deere with their Stanley Cup, the big sun hat, and their headphones on, they look like they're living a dream. They have those zero turn.
It is peaceful.
Yeah, I seen this guy, he was just in heaven. He just had this big old sun hat on, man, had his music blasting, a big old cup, shirtless, and he was just cruising. And so that
would be it for you.
Yeah, that's probably the dream.
I will tell you, I used to cut the fields at the baseball complex.
You did?
Very peaceful. Not all the time, but yeah, from time to time. Get on the big tractor.
Like volunteer?
Yeah. And just go in a big circle.
Oh, you're a saint.
The outfield? No, my kids were playing there. What did I mind?
I get it.
But it was nice. It was quiet. It was, you know, whatever.
And you would get out before all the parents? Did they tip you?
No, they didn't tip me. No.
So you're just doing
God's
work.
We shared the responsibility, but it was fun.
Okay.
So I get it. All right, one final break. We'll come right back. Landscaper. I would have thought, plumber, landscaper. I would have thought mason. Big, strong. We got to take a break. Think about it for a second.
I'm Natalie Morales of 48 Hours. So much of our reporting focuses on the stories of victims who didn't survive. But what about those who lived to tell?
I survived a violent home invasion. There's no earthly reason why I'm alive.
From 48 Hours, this is It Could Have Been Me.
It makes you grateful for everything you have, you know.
You can follow and listen to It Could Have Been Me on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.